Thank you, worship team. Oh, Chick, you took my notes. No, I got 2 pages.
Two.
Got a little nervous there. You thought I was memorizing stuff, huh? Whew. Just a couple of things before we get started this morning. If you would like to follow along with a Bible or with an outline that we have, you can just by raising your hand, one of the ushers will make sure they get that to you. And again, I think Steve shared this before, is that these are a great tool to have just throughout your week. You know, if you're just thinking about some things that God spoke to you about in our time together, then you can pull this out, and hopefully that'll be a tool and an aid for you. Also, Chick alluded to after this morning's service that we're going to have Hope at Home. We're going to do lunch together, and also just want to encourage you to just take some time. There's some organizations here that you can learn more about local foster orphan care, and at the end of our service, Ave Mulhern will come up and share some more information about that. So hopefully each and every one of you will be able to stay this afternoon. And so we're going to continue our series on godly living in the book of Titus. And last week we took a few moments, and Phyllis talked to us about being in a godly influence. And how, one of the questions that stuck with me is, how am I rubbing influence into others' lives? And how am I intentionally or unintentionally rubbing influence in people's lives? And I found out last Sunday that dude is an unintentional, I guess, way that I influenced Jacob Bott. And so I didn't even know it. But that was just really neat, and just put things into perspective that no matter what, there's people watching everything that we do, and that we want to become people who are godly influences. If you give me a second, I'm just going to put this down here. I can't see some people over there. Okay, there we go. Okay, good. All right. And so as we continue this morning in our series in Titus, we want to talk a little bit about godly hope. And one of the questions that came to my mind, just a simple one for all of us, is what do we hope for? What do we really hope for? And I thought about that, and I thought, wow, well, do I hope for, maybe the economy to get better? Do I hope for my my child and my future child to be ones who follow God with all their hearts? Is it, do I hope for a better relationship with my wife? And those are the things that I ask myself. But then I thought back in my own life, I have a picture here of Tina, my wife Tina and I's our wedding, and it's when we were lighting the union candle. This is in my chunkier days, and still working on that. I hope to lose more weight. But anyway, that wasn't the case, we had dated for about 6 years, and at that time, in our sixth year of dating, I moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and Tina was still in New Jersey and attending school at Philadelphia, the Art Institute of Philadelphia, there you go. And we, as I moved to get work, we continued to date, but we began to see that this wasn't working. This long distance stuff wasn't working. And we decided mutually, as we were engaged, we said the best thing to do is us to just take some time off, to take a break. And so as time went on, I began calling and saying, we got to get back together. And it's like, no, not yet. Come on, we got to get back together. No, Jeff, we got to get back together. And Tina's not mean, just go with me here. And so as time went on, I kept hoping, and in the back of my mind, I'm like, man, I hope we get back together. And I finally had to decide that I can't have any contact. I just got to do the right thing for me. And so we went almost a year, actually 9 months, without speaking to one another. And so Thanksgiving 1994, I said to myself, self, why don't you give Tina a call and see how she's doing? And at that time, unbeknownst to me, Tina was going just through a rough spot in her life. And she was visiting at her grandfather's grave and just taking some time there and leaving some flowers. And she just said, God, if there's any hope, if there's any sign that things are going to get better, could you just do something for me? That'd be really nice. And that afternoon, I called and just said, how you doing? And she's like, I'm doing good. And we just talked for a bit. But after that, and through just a process of things, as you can see, we've been happily married going on 13 years. And so, yeah, amen. wow, thank you. She's still putting up with me. But we love each other. But there was that time in my life where I'm going, when's it going to get good? when are we going to have that time together? And I began thinking about that, and I looked, and there's a actually online, and I typed in quotes on hope. And there's a lady by the name of Claire Booth Luce, who was an author and playwright back in the 1800s, and she said this. She said, "There are no hopeless situations. There are only hopeless people who have grown hopeless about them." And I thought about that statement. I thought, yeah, but wait a minute. What about Myanmar? As I watched the news this week, and I thought, do they have any hope? But yeah, I thought, you know, maybe they do. Maybe they're hoping that their government will allow aid to come. And I thought of China and the earthquake, and I thought, man, there's got to be people hoping that their loved ones will be found, or that they will be found beneath the rubble. And then I thought about Oklahoma and thinking, you know, there's got to be some people hoping that they will have somewhere to live. And so as we look at this together, taking a look at Titus chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 11 to 15 and look at a godly hope. If we don't put our hope and trust and faith, as we sang, "My Savior loves, my Savior lives, he's always there for me." If we don't put our hope and trust and faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where are we putting our hope? Let's turn together to Titus chapter 2 as we look as Paul is continuing to give Titus some instruction on and giving him some things that he needs to pass on to those people that he is in connection with. And as we look here, we're going to read together starting at verse 11, and it says this: "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. And while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach, encourage and rebuke with all authority. And do not let anyone despise you." And what's interesting here is Paul is describing here a basis for Christian behavior. And that's God's saving grace, the foundation of what God has done for us, giving us what we didn't deserve, of him sending his one and only son to this earth to be a sacrifice, to be an atonement for our sins, so that we, if we do choose so, to say yes to a relationship with Jesus, and to live for him here on this earth, but to know that we have home waiting for us in the future. Paul also encouraged those of us who are Christ followers to reject ungodly living. And also that he continues to insist to us, and not only to Titus and the others, but to us as well, that our profession, for those of us who have made a profession of faith in Christ, that our lives should be backed up, and the things we say and the things that we do should line up. And so that's where we are this morning. And so for the next few moments, I just want to talk about the present future. And what I mean by that is that asking ourselves, what does it look like for us as we strive to live a godly life here on earth, but yet also while we're waiting on the return of Jesus? And so that's what we want to look at together. And we want to look at that also, it's an encouragement for us to live godly lives. That's what Paul's doing. He's not saying separate yourself from the world, because we have to live here. But it's encouraging us to live a life, a reformed version of what the world says we should live. As Phyllis was talking last week, to be countercultural to how the world says we should live and the things that we should do. And that's what he wants for us to do, is to be that reformed version in our everyday lives and in our everyday relationships. And recognizing that it is only through faith in Jesus Christ that can give us that reformed version of how to live in this world. So as we talk about the present future, if you're following along in your outlines, there's several things that really spoke to me these past few weeks as I just took time with the Lord to say, God, what is it that you want me to share? What is it that you want to share? And I'll get out of the way. But there's just several things. And the first thing is, as we're talking about the present future, isn't it this? Live now a life of transformation. Live now a life of transformation. If we look back again at verse 11 and 12, let's read this together. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, and it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." And we have to recognize that it's not anything that we can do but it's all that God has done for us. Again, as we shared moments ago of him sending his son to die for us. But also as we have his word here, as we come to and gather together, or whether it's time that we take personally, that it's not only just teaching us, but it's also instructing us on how to live. It also encourages us. It corrects us, and also disciplines us as a parent would a child. And if we're honest, the things of this world are very attractive. You know, that huge HD flat screen is really attractive to me lately, because I see some of my friends getting those bigger televisions, and so because of the grace that my wife gives, we negotiated and I got a little bit bigger. But the idea is that there are so many things that are attractive in this world for us. And the truth is, God's word says that the evil one, the enemy, who is Satan, his desire is only to steal, kill, and destroy. And for those of us who are or Christ followers, who are living a life that is godly, he's gonna keep coming after us and coming after us and coming after us with those things that Paul is saying to Titus here, say no to. And for those of us who may be just saying that we are following Christ, but doing our own thing, he's not going to want to bother us who are wholeheartedly devoted to him. And so if we're living now a life of transformation, understanding that here's who I was before Christ, and here's who I'm striving day by day to become. Understanding that you don't have to have it all together, but at the same time is day by day saying, God, what is it that you want to take out of my life so that I can be renewed in my mind and in my heart and in my behavior? God's word says that anyone who is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come. So who I was and who I am are not the same people anymore. And so if we live now a life of transformation, our life later is that we have to recognize that God rewards obedience. In Ephesians 6, 7, and 8, it says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether slave or free. And the idea here is speaking about servants, is that for us as servants of Christ, that life is a life of obedience. I believe it was Steve who shared that God is not interested in our comfort. He's interested in our obedience. And living a life for us in this world today is being a life that is sincere and not pretending to obey God when we choose to go against him. And I've even seen this in my own life, because I can sing all the great worship songs. I can say all the right Bible verses at the right time. I can attend all the church meetings I can. I can be on any ministry team, but he knows my heart. And I would rather have, at the end of the day, to him say, well done. You have been faithful in the things I've asked you to do, whether big or small. But your life has shown a life of faithfulness and obedience. And so we live now a life that is transformed, and recognizing that later, it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but one day, later, that God will reward us for our obedience. And so the question that we can ask ourselves this morning is, where is regeneration taking place in our lives? In those areas that we say, these are the things that I want to change, I want to be transformed, and I just want to be faithful. God, show me. Please just help me, because there's this area of my heart that I just want to change, because I keep going back to the same place over and over again. But please teach me. And not only if you teach me, I want to follow in that and to be obedient. So living a life of transformation and God rewarding our obedience, the second thing is this morning is live now a life of anticipation. Live now a life of anticipation. Back in Titus chapter 2 in verse 13, it goes on to say, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. For those of us who are in Christ, again, we have to understand and believe in our heart of hearts that he will return. He's coming back. This is not our home. This is only our temporary residence. We are aliens and strangers in this world. And as we wait, the hope that we have produces a life of purity as we strive to become more like Christ. and we choose to serve faithfully. We choose to look after others' needs above our own. And when we live our godly lives, a result is that result of the hope that we have, and we don't do it out of obligation. And I think of the living life now, a life of anticipation. I've shared up here several times about the Native Reserve that Tina and I and Emily used to serve at in Canada. And the last summer that we went, I remember a little boy, he was about 8 or 9 years old at the time, and his name's Norman. And I said, Norman, it's great to see you. And he's like, good to see you. I said, well, how was your year? Because we only went once a year. And he's like, it was good. And I said, good. And so what'd you do this year? And he told me. And I said, but what was like the coolest, biggest thing like about this year for you? And he said, it was waiting for you to come back. And I was like, wow, of all things. And yet that touched my heart to think, you know what? I'm just waiting for me with my faith in Christ and my belief that he will return. I'm just waiting for him to come back to take me home. And what a great example that we have from Norman. Living that life of anticipation. Not just saying, well, I'll wait and then I'll go, you know, celebrate who Christ is when we're there. No, it's doing that now. And the passage of scripture that came to my heart and my mind was when Jesus said, on earth as it is in heaven. And I thought, man, what is going on in heaven right now? I've asked this before, but what's going on? A celebration, a worship of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And for me, where am I not doing that in my life? My life is an act of worship and saying that I want to celebrate who you are now as I prepare to do that forever and for eternity. So living a life of anticipation, but life later is this. Heaven will be our home. For those of us who have placed faith in Jesus Christ, heaven will be our home. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 6 through 8 says this. Therefore, we are confident and know that as long as we are home with this body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. And we are confident, I say, and we prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Understanding that a desire to be with the Lord is not a bad thing. But at the same time, what are we doing, again, with the time that we have and the time that is being given to us? And the reality is that faith in Christ is here for earth. Believing that he will return, believing and giving us that godly hope as we've been talking about. But taking that and saying, here's what I'm going to do. God, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to be faithful, and I understand that sometimes it's not going to be easy, but I will do what you've asked me to do as I wait for you to come and take me home. And for us, when Paul went on to say we live by faith and not by sight, our sight is for the world to come. Tim shared about it at Easter and what heaven, that's what I'm waiting on. That's the hope that I have. And again, if that's not your hope today, where are you putting your hope? In. And for us, our duty is to live and walk by faith here on this earth. So we can ask ourselves this morning, if we're living now a life of anticipation and understanding that heaven will be our home, are we choosing good? Are we choosing to do what is right and saying no to ungodliness while we are waiting for what's in store for us? A life of transformation, understanding we will be rewarded. A life of anticipation and understanding that heaven will be our home. And then finally, live now a life of instruction. Paul finishes up here and he says to Titus, these then are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority, and do not let anyone despise you. Anyone. In other words, everything that Paul was saying to Titus now had the responsibility, and he had the authority to go and teach those things. And for us, that responsibility is on us as well. Because when our dependence is placed on Christ and to live godly lives, we become less focused on what we want to do. We become more focused on what Christ has done for us. We become more intentional to live a life that is pleasing to God now. And living in the hope that he is giving us through his son, Jesus Christ. And so again, it's living now. We still have to live. We still have to go our day to day. We still have our problems. We still have our heartaches. We still have our disappointments. But yet it's saying, God, I'm going to remain faithful to you. as I wait for you to take me home. And so if our life now is living that life of instruction, being a godly example to others and being that influence, life later is others may follow. I'm not saying everybody will follow us as we live a godly life, but others may follow. Paul says again in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Understanding that Christ is the perfect example of godly living. And Paul not only said these things, but he lived it. And he said, you know what? I've had many things happen to me, bad, but I'm still going to live for the Lord. I was once that guy who was against God. And then I saw the light, and I've been transformed. And I want to share with everyone around me that there is a blessed hope that will return to take us home. But live now. Don't wait to celebrate him when time's done. It's saying, I can live my life now as a life of worship unto God. In other words, Paul's walk matched his talk. And I even said, God, where is my life contradicting what I say I believe? And help me with that. Help me, Jeff, personally. Because what I say here may not be what I say at home. Or how I tell, you know, how God speaks through and uses me, I may not be doing that in my own personal life. But I want to be doing those things that I say I'm doing and I'm living. Again, I don't have it all together. But I do know that he is continuing to change me day by day so I can become more like him, and understanding that God has got to be less of me and more of you. And so we can ask ourselves, if that's the case, that others may follow as we live now a life of instruction. If we were to look behind us, who is following us as we follow Christ? In other words, who is walking with us towards the kingdom of heaven? And I thought about that, you know, as, again, with the Native Reserve, that's all we wanted to do is let those kids know that we loved God, we loved them, and we just wanted to share with them that no matter what their situation was, and it was a pretty bad situation, as I shared before, that abuse was high, alcoholism was high, parents missing, parents leaving the reserve, but yet we wanted them to know that there was a God who is their ultimate daddy and who loved them, and that they could live in that hope that no matter what was going on, they could put their hope and their trust in him, and that they could live for him every day, and to live and understand that it's only temporary. All our problems we have, temporary. Christ, eternal. What's going on now? Temporary. The hope that we have, eternal. As you all know, this past Friday, the Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian, came out. And the band Switchfoot has the theme song for the film. And the song is called This Is Home. And as I was just finishing putting together the message, I was just like, how can I close this morning? And I began reading the lyrics to this song. And I thought, man, this is really powerful. And I believe in my heart that it goes to what that we've been talking about this morning, living now for God and waiting on him to take us home when he returns. And I said, well, you know, I could always just read. I could read the lyrics to you. But I thought, you know what? I'd like to play it for you. Is that all right? And just hopefully the words will resonate and encourage you, and just as what we've been talking about this morning, that a life that we can live for him now, living our lives as a life of worship and waiting on what's coming down the road. So let me grab the guitar here, and this is called This Is Home. And I just thought that was just, wow, really powerful. And I get emotional when it comes to, like, you know, being home with the Lord, and so I hope that that's your heart today. And no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, a couple of things that I just want to finish off with by asking us is that, how has our lives been changed by the power of Christ? And are we living as if our lives have been changed by him? And with the hope that we do have, or say we have, will we be excited, or will we be disappointed when he does return? Will we hear welcome home? Or will we hear, you know, you didn't choose to have the hope. You didn't choose a relationship. And I'm just going to have to ask you to move on. And unfortunately, that's a reality. That for those of us who say no to Him here on this earth, it's eternal separation from God. And so the question that we have is that, are we being a life that is living in that hope? Are we being a life that is a godly example because of the hope that we do have? And are we choosing to say, I'm living for Him no matter what? And I hope that it will be God that works through me, that others will want to follow me to the kingdom. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You again for Your grace and Your mercy. And I thank You, Lord, that You gave of Yourself, Lord, that it's nothing that I could do, but it is all that You have done. And Father, as we just took a few moments to look at the present future and to see that, Lord, we can live a life of worship now for You. And I pray, Lord, that, Father, as we continue our time of worship and as we continue with just with hope at home, I pray that, Lord, You have just spoken to us in the special way that You do, Father. And I pray also that if we have not said yes to a relationship with You, Lord, that today that we would see that, Lord, You are there waiting, that You love us. And, Lord, You desire a relationship with all of us. Father, I pray that if we have been just stagnant in our relationship with You, that Lord, we would turn to You. That we would confess, Lord, where we have failed You, and that we would just turn around, take Your hand, Lord, and walk with You. Father, we love You, and this is Your time, Lord. And as we close, Father, I pray that this, as we sing, that this song is just from our hearts. It's not just a song that we sing, but we choose to say and celebrate with the hope that we have that every day we choose to live for You. And I pray these things in Jesus' name.